My goodness.
Welcome to our Wednesday evening Bible study. We are in chapter 6. We're going to begin on verse 13. I'm just going to read to the end of the chapter. Not a whole lot of scripture here, but we have a lot to discuss. I may use tonight as just sort of an introductory, not go too deep tonight, but there's a lot here that I do want to talk about. So beginning in verse 13, "And God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth.'" Now, the question here is, who is them? Is he just talking about flesh? Is he talking about what we talked about earlier in the chapter, about the Nephilim, about the fallen angels? We can't really say for sure, but he says, "I will destroy them with the earth." Then he gives him the instructions. "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood." Now, we don't know what gopher wood was, the Hebrew word for that. They just don't know specifically what kind of wood that was.
They don't know if it's cypress wood. Mine says cypress.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mine said they just didn't know what it was.
Okay.
But I heard a creation speaker say that what happened was that Noah told his sons to go for wood. So that, go for some wood. Anyway, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you should make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Its width 50 cubits and its height 30 cubits. Now, a cubit is generally meant to be 18 inches. It was supposed to have been from the length from your elbow to the tip of your finger, and on the average man, it's about 18 inches.
Do you want me to set table?
And so, so the actual in numbers in feet,
okay, yeah.
450 feet long,
yeah.
75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. So if you think in terms of, let's say, a football field from end zone to end zone is 300 feet. So this would be 1.5 football fields long. If you've been to the Ark, then they've made it to that specification. You see how huge the Ark there in Kentucky is. "You shall make a window for the Ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above." I think what that means there is the window would be, the top of the window would be like 1 cubit or 18 inches below the top of the Ark, I think is what he's saying there. "And set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die." So God is making it very plain here that he is the one doing it. It's not something that's just happening or he's allowing to happen. He's doing it. This is judgment.
Mm-hmm.
"But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind." Now, when people that study genetics, they have certain names for different types of or groupings of animals. Like you have a genus and a species and an order and a family and all this. Kind would be somewhere between what they call an order and a family. Like all the dogs would be a dog kind. All the cats would be a cat kind. All the cattle, the different types of cattle, would be a cattle kind. And this is what was brought on the ark. And so after the flood, we had the variation. And like now we have over 1,000 breeds of dogs from that original dog kind, which was probably something like a wolf. Okay, so he says, "Two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive." Notice Noah didn't have to go get them. Okay, they came to him. "And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself." In other words, they had to stock up. "And it shall be food for you and for them." So they had to stock up on all kinds of food for the animals. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Now, I was talking here before I started recording. I have some books here. One is called The Genesis Flood by John C. Whitcomb and Henry M. Morris. I believe it was 1961. It was published. It is like the flagship book for the flood. I mean, there's a lot of really good, and even though it was back then, there's still what they said is just amazing what they were able to put together. It's a fairly large book. And then I have a DVD called Flood Geology. This is from the Creation Museum, and it has several different clips in here. I think it's about a half hour long, the whole thing, and we'll be watching it sometime. And then I have another book here called A Flood of Evidence by Ken Ham and Bodie Hodge, also very instructive. So I have some things I have highlighted in this book I wanted to bring out. In the chapter, this chapter was called Basic Arguments for a Universal Flood, because a lot of people say, well, the flood was not universal, it wasn't over the whole earth, it was just local. But there are other places in the Bible, I mean, we're going to see in chapter 7, too, how it covered the whole earth. But also there are places in the Bible that talk about it. For instance, 1 Peter 3:20, I'll just read it in here, but if you want to look it up. It says, the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. So he says right there very clearly, only eight souls were saved, which means everybody else perished. That would be a worldwide flood. Then in 2 Peter, that was 1 Peter 3:20, 2 Peter 2:5, God spared not the ancient world, but preserved Noah with seven others, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. So he only saved Noah and the other seven when he brought a flood upon the world, which the word for that, the Greek word is cosmos, of the ungodly. So the world of the ungodly. And then Jesus in Luke 17 and in Matthew 24, he said, and as it came to pass in the days of Noah, even so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And he compared that to Lot. He says, likewise, even as it came to pass in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted and builded. But in the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So what he used as an illustration of that, all of them were destroyed in Sodom and Gomorrah except for Lot and his family. And so what he was saying was, everyone's going to be destroyed other than Noah and his family. There's just no doubt about it. And I think I have one more. Let's see if I have another. Find it. It says here in Genesis 6, 11 and 13, which we looked at last week, or 11, says, Genesis 6, 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And so in order to get rid of it, he had to destroy the entire earth. Mm-hmm. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So to solve the problem, he had to get rid of all flesh, which would have been spread out. We believe that there was about 1,600 years. I think some people calculated 1,656 years from the creation of Adam to the flood. And the way they came up with that number was looking at the ages and how old these men were when they had their child, that would the child that was in the line, in Noah's line. And they added up all those numbers, and they came up with 1,656 years. So you had that length of time for people to be multiplying. And of course, they lived very long lives. And so many people think that certainly the population could have been easily over 1 billion, 2 billion people, you know, by the time the flood came. Because a lot of people don't, you know, they don't think in terms of those big numbers. They just think that, you know, there's just a few people, you know, on earth at that time. But there was probably many, many, many people.
How many do we have now?
Just say, we're between 7 and 8 billion. We're getting close to 8 billion now.
Okay.
So, but The point I want to make, and I'm going to elaborate on this, go into much better detail in future weeks. And by the way, we won't be having our normal Bible study next week because of Thanksgiving. So it'll be the week after that we pick it up. But I'm going to go much, much deeper on this. But for those of you who may not know who are listening, I have done creation seminars. And the flood is so important because the people that believe in long ages, millions of years, billions of years for the earth, millions of years for the evolution of man, they believe that all the fossils that we find were laid down over a long, long period of time. Creationists believe that the fossils were laid down by the flood, because the flood was a lot more than just rain. We're going to find out in chapter 7. Rain was part of it, but the fountains of the deep erupted. Steam jets from inside the earth came up, literally gave the earth a facelift, turned over everything. There's reason to believe that before the flood, all the land was in one place, all the waters were in one place. All over the earth was a really good climate, or else God wouldn't have said very good. We wouldn't have had ice. We wouldn't have conditions on the earth where man couldn't exist, you know, because it was so cold or so hot. And so the weather would have been much, much better. So all this changed because of the flood. Everything happened. And all these, and even animals in the sea, because of the jets coming up, you know, the ocean floor was brought up and overturned. And so, yes, many sea creatures survived. Of course, you wouldn't have sea creatures on the ark anyway, but a lot of them died because of the silt and the mud and everything overflowing and burying them. And 95% of all the fossils are sea creatures because there were just so many that were buried in the sediment. And then you have fewer fossils, which you would expect. The fewest fossils are humans, basically, or the ones that were able to get away from the rising waters the longest. They were the ones that you find the least fossils of. Evolutionists say, well, you're going from simple animals to complex. But creationists say, no, you're looking at the fossil record as the ones who didn't have a chance to escape, to the ones that tried to escape as long as they could, but even they couldn't escape finally. And so that's the key. Did the millions of years cause the fossil record that we see today, or was it the flood? The one thing about it is, some people believe that there are over 500 stories of the flood all over the world. South America, Africa, all the distant parts of the earth, the people groups have a story. It may not be as accurate as the one in the Bible. There may be some distortions, but they all have a story about a man and a boat and his family and the great flood that came. Now, if you picture 8 people getting off the ark, and then over the years, they're multiplying and multiplying. The Tower of Babel happens, and the confusion of the languages, so they have to separate because they can't understand each other. And so they go out all parts of the earth. The one thing they're going to talk about, word of mouth, is about when the great flood happened. Plus, some of them that got off the ark lived for another 400 or 500 years. They would have been talking to them as they experienced it. And so it's just unimaginable to me, and it would have been to Noah and his family, if someone would have said, you know, there'll come a time when people will say it never even happened. You know, never even happened. And that's where, let's see, there's a scripture that came in here. It's in Peter. Let's see, where is that? That's what I'm trying to find. Maybe it was in this one. It's where Peter talked about, here it is. 2 Peter 3, 3 through 7. I'll read it the way it's written in this book. 2 Peter 3, 3 through 7. Knowing this first, that in the last days, mockers shall come with mockery, walking after their own lusts, in other words, wanting to do what they want to do, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For from the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly forget. Now, when they're talking about things continue from the beginning of the creation, they're talking about something called uniformitarianism, which means everything is uniform, and that the fossils were laid down over millions of years, a little bit at a time. By the way, fossils don't form a little bit at a time. To get a fossil, you have to have a lot of pressure and a lot of heat very quickly to do it. They don't form over long periods of time. Anyway, he says, for this, they willingly forget that there were heavens from of old, and an earth compacted out of the water and amidst the water by the word of God, by which means the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. So there you go. The whole world, that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens that now are and the earth, by the same word, have been stored up for fire, being reserved against the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. And so he's saying in the last days, people will deny that there was ever a flood that flooded the whole earth. And yet we have evidence all over the place. We have sedimentation that was laid down by vast torrents of water. We have fossils that are buried because of huge expanse of torrents of water. The weight of the water would have caused a lot of the fossils. Water weighs about 7 to 8 pounds. I take that back, more than that. A gallon of water is like 7.5 pounds. A cubic foot of water is much, much more than that. And you have 30 or 40 feet of water on top of something, it's going to put a tremendous amount of pressure. And it'll cause heat, too, and to form these fossils. But anyway, that's starting to get into a little bit of detail. But to me, as a creationist, the flood is of extreme importance, and it's a mistake for Christians to go along with other people and say, well, maybe it was a local flood. You know, well, why have an ark? If you got a local flood, what's the point of even building an ark? Why would Moses spend all that time building an ark? Why didn't he just move? What's the point of having all the animals come? What's the point of saving the animals? All they got to do is move. You know, it makes no sense whatsoever. It's not, doesn't have anything to do with the actual evidence that's there. It's people thinking that the evolutionary scientists are correct and we have to compromise with them, but we do not. So that's all I want to really talk about. That's kind of an introductory thing I want to look at today. We will get into this in more detail because chapter 7 really gets into the flood, and the next few chapters talk about what happened. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about exactly how long it rained, how long they had waters coming in, how long it stood, how long the ark stood while the waters were subsiding, all that, and hopefully more. We really want to get into this in a lot of detail so we can totally understand it. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we just help us as we get into this very difficult topic. There's a lot of things to look at here. But we need to understand this so we can speak to other people about it when they bring it up. And what it does, dear Lord, it bolsters our faith and encourages us. And it just emboldens us to be able to speak your word, to know these things and not to have doubts. In Jesus' name, amen.